This season at the First Time Podcast, we are returning to our first time roots. We hear all the time from listeners who've gone from thinking about writing a book to starting to write a book to having their very own debut author experience.
One of the things that these new authors say is that they've gone back and listened to all the episodes that cover off the various milestones. So this year we're going back too. We want to capture that first time again ourselves. We're going to follow a first-time author across the year, catching up multiple times along the way.
Our very first follower first-timer is Megan Rogers, author of The Heart is a Star. This segment of Follower First-Timer is brought to you by HarperCollins.
Megan Rogers, our delightful, amazing follower first-timer. It's been a big week, huh?
Been a big week.
So I am talking to Megan. I'm going to let her tell you where she's sitting, but I'm talking to Megan. We're a few days after publication day. We're going to talk publication day and all it involved. We're going to talk some of the feels before and after and what you've been doing. Just tell us where you are right now, Megan Rogers.
I'm sitting on my daughter's bed in her bedroom and I'm wearing tracksuit pants that I loved so hard on putting on after the past few days. Don't get me wrong, a nice dress is good too, but my tracksuit pants are particularly special at the moment. Anything elasticized, to be honest. I've got my beloved UGG boots on and I'm resting the computer on my daughter's bedspread and her pillow.
I love it. And I hope very much that once we finish recording this, that you stay exactly in that position because you've had a big few days. I'm going to take you back to last Friday morning, which was publication day for your debut novel, The Heart is a Star. You had a pretty big schedule. Can you take us through what Friday involved, please, Megan?
So I was really, really lucky to be invited to the Sorrento Writers Festival. And the invite came a little bit late on because the publication date moved a couple of days forward. So we were able to get books there and I was able to talk. And so it was even kind of a bit of a whirlwind to schedule it in. So I got up, I had my girls that morning, and so they were coming along with me. So everyone out there kind of knows what that's like. I spent the morning trying to find the particular pair of socks that my beautiful eight-year-old wanted to wear.
The glamour, right? The glamour of publication day.
I was thinking, I've got to have to feed these poor children because they're not going to have time to eat for the whole day. And I'm, you know, a terrible mother because I'm not even feeding them breakfast. And I'm just thinking, where is the McDonald's on the way? Where is somewhere I can drive through just to get them whatever? I mean, whatever, you know, you just do it. You can. So we literally got up. I finally found the pair of socks and, you know, there are numerous other things. And we got in the car and we drove down and I couldn't find a park because they did look, I mean, all credit to Corey and the team there because none of us kind of knew what to expect, right?
It looked incredible. First festival.
Incredible. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Like the energy and the amount of people. So I finally found a park that was, I think it was like an hour park, right? And I'm like, well, I'm obviously not going to be there just an hour. So let's just pray to the parking lords that, and I'm like, look, if I get a ticket, I'm just going to have to.
Yeah.
So we went in there and you know, I've got my beautiful girls and we walk up the steps and the lovely people there are like, oh, you know, here's your wristband and we'll take you to the green room. And I'm like, there's a green room at this thing? I'm like, what? And one of the beautiful volunteers, the volunteers were incredible. They were so nice and so lovely. And she's gone to me, look, I do need to apologize. It's not much of a green room. And inside I'm going, you know what? I get a green room, man. Like that green room could be a box in a corner with like a couple of crumbs for snacks and I would be happy right now. And we walk in and it's this like stunning room in the Continental Hotel with like fruit and biscuits. And my girls look at me and they're like, can we have a chocolate chip cookie? And I'm like, yes, you can have a chocolate chip cookie. And we sat down and there were these beautiful people there who were like booking tickets and it was all a flurry and like other authors are coming in. This is you know, I have been in the audience chair for so long and so much of my life. And, you know, suddenly I'm in a room where like really famous authors are coming in and out, and I'm sitting there just, you know, embodying that audience person more than anything. I was sitting there like on the seat, just really still feeling like an observer of it all, not wanting to talk to them at all, knowing full well they don't have a clue who I am, like would not be on their radar whatsoever. So I just kind of sat there and ate about 5 chocolate chip cookies. So that's fine. And then, you know, another staff member said, would you like a coffee? And I'm like, oh yeah, look, I'll just grab my purse and okay. No, you don't have to pay. And I'm like, sorry, what? Like
I love the gradual realization for you that, you're on the author side now. What? You get a free coffee sometimes.
And so I was on a panel with Chris Hammer and Sophie Laguna, like great people to be there with. And you know, they were just both beautiful and very patient with me and kind. And we walk into this room and my girls are so beautiful. They're like, give me your phone. We'll take some pictures. Cause I'm not in picture world.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you have an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old. And they're like, we can take some videos and then you can make a reel. I'm like, I'm still in like, I get a free cup of coffee world. You know, I almost put like some fruit and cookies in my handbag, you know, to take for the day. So, you know, the room was like, it had chandeliers. There was like, I mean, there had to be like a couple hundred people in this room. I mean, it was just, look, let's be brutally honest. Those people are not there for me.
Doesn't matter. I was going to
ride that bandwagon.
Hells yeah.
Coattails. I was holding on to them, knowing full well that was my job for the day. So it was packed and, you know, it was just a really incredible experience. And, you know, I got to read from the book and the people were incredibly generous and, you know, they knew it was publication day. And so people were just, you know, book people, man, right? Book people are good people in all facets of books, you know, whether you're a reader or a publisher or a volunteer or, you know, the people are good, genuinely really darn good people. And then we went down and they're like, oh, we're going to get you to sign some books. I'm like, oh, right, yeah. Okay, so we sat down and my two little girls had made bookmarks. So they had gotten these space-themed like bookmarks with like planets and stuff on it. And then on the back, on 300 bookmarks, now let's be honest, we're not going to need 300 bookmarks for probably any day of the week, but, you know, maybe in a year's time we might they had written may your heart be your compass and then at Megan underscore writer Rogers underscore writer, like, you know, the tweens in my family know exactly to put my hand on the bottom, like,
yeah, I love this.
And so they sat next to me and they had a box of them, and so anyone who came up and bought a book and asked for it to be signed, like, I'd sign it and then they'd go, we made a bookmark for you, and they'd put the bookmark in. So I think,
let me ask practical questions about this, because these are the kinds of things that the listeners will be desperate to know.
Okay.
Are you signing just your signature? Are you putting kisses? Are you putting the date? Are you putting a phrase question in there? What's your approach to signing?
I was on the fly a little bit because I'm kind of learning as I go. So at that moment I said, you know, hi to the person and I said, who would you like me to make it out to? I don't know.
Perfect. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'm terrible with names. So, you know, often they would say, oh, could you just make it out to Christine or someone? And then I'd be like, is that C-H-R-I-S-T-I? Yeah.
It's so important that you do that, because like, I reckon I have had, you know, Kate spelt like 17 different ways. So every time now I'm just like, and do I spell that, you know, J-A-C-K? And they're like, yeah, it's Jack. Yes, but I'd just like to check.
You know, the thing is though, then they'd tell me the spelling and then it would fall out of my brain.
Yeah.
Okay. But then I'd look down the book and I'm like, oh my God, I've just forgotten exactly what they said. And then I sometimes ask again. And I'm like, look, I'm really sorry. Can you just say that
again? It's a big day.
I was so sorry. And then sometimes my daughter would land in and go, that's C-H-O. And then so I would say for, you know, who, Christine, and, you know, and then I'd do a heart and write my name and do a kiss.
Beautiful.
And the girls would put a bookmark in. And I was really lucky that, you know, there was people who wanted to buy it. And then, so then Tony Jordan came up to me and I said, hi, Tony, if you remember, but you actually read my PhD and gave me some good feedback because I was at RMIT, like this was like, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. She goes, oh, yes, yes. And then she bought my book.
Oh, yay.
I'm like, Tony Jordan has my book now. So that was, you know, that was really amazing. And you know, the incredible people from the Avenue were there, and shout out to Emily, because, you know, like in many ways, you know, they're the booksellers, right? I knew they were special people beforehand. Like I always used to say to my girls, if you're in a shopping center and get lost, look for another mum. And if you can't find a mum, go to a bookshop.
Oh, that is such great advice.
I know booksellers and they're the people, right? I know that if they were walking to a bookshop and they said, look, we can't find our mum, they would help. Like that.
Yes, I would. That's really good.
So that this process has reinforced that to me on a whole exponential kind of plane on, you know, a whole new playing field. And so, you know, Emily at Avenue, I actually went in there yesterday and dropped off like a big bunch of flowers and some hand cream. Sorry if that's really daggy, Emily. Just listen to this. It's like rose hand cream. I thought it was nice. Anyway. You know, booksellers have been such a big part of this, and she was a big part of like getting me at the festival and at Williamstown as well, which is doing. And that, like, I don't even know how to repay that or how to be grateful for that. I feel like it's not necessarily that I feel undeserving per se, but it's just like I don't know how to say thank you enough for that. Like, anyway.
I'm going to jump in there to give a bit of a pep talk. When Catherine and I conceived of Follow a First Timer, and with Jill's help, we were talking about this idea that, okay, well, when we're talking to this debut novelist across the year, we'll also go, okay, well, what are the things that we've learned over the, you know, the five seasons of this, and what are we going to say? And you and I were talking a little bit before we pressed record, and one of the things that I said, and I'll repeat it here, is the way you say thank you is to do your job, Megan Rogers, which is to write the next book. Partly, you know, you've written this one. There's no more you can do about this one now, other than do your job to visit the bookstores, to engage with the readers, and to do everything that I know that you're doing already. I know that there is this urge for writers who are published to just go around every day kind of, you know, feeling such enormous luck and gratitude that they are published. And that is in part true. It is a kind of a lucky thing to get published because so many people want to do it. Mm. But you have, and people have backed you and they've put their faith in you and your book. And so the way that you thank those people is to do your job.
Yeah.
End of preach.
Good advice. Great
Carry
advice.
On.
Great advice as always.
Did you get a parking ticket, Megan Rogers?
I didn't. Well, no, not that I know of, because you know how sometimes they're sneaky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I haven't got one in the mail yet.
Excellent. So you leave Sorrento because you have to come back because you have, and as a person who attended this magnificent launch, you have some crazy number of people who are booked to come to the Wheeler Center in Melbourne, which is a big space, and my word, you filled it. And this huge event that's happening on the Friday night, which normally kind of takes a person a full day just to get their head around that that's what they're doing. What happened? Tell us about the launch.
Oh, it was the stuff of dreams. There was part of me that was a bit worried because it was kind of publicized that we'd booked out the library. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to like rock up and it's going to be like 10 people and I'm going to look like the biggest idiot. You know, it is that kind of your birthday party and no one turns up feeling.
Of course.
I was really, I was just blown away that there were so many people there. And, you know, it was a bit, and not to sound morbid at all, but it was a little bit like being at your own funeral, but kind of not being dead because, you know, at weddings, people are there for you and your partner. And, you know, for birthdays, you don't kind of have such a breadth of person, of people. And so, you know, I had high school friends and I'm 44, so that's a long time ago. I had teachers and I had book clubs. There were people from book clubs there who I'd never met, like incredible groups of women who were like, you know, we've made a night out of it. We're going for drinks and we've bought your book. It was so heart exploding, incredible. And Jacinta Parsons, who launched it, was just everything the Queen would ever.
Total queen. I want to ask you, I'll jump in to ask you about Jacinta and your prep, because people often have lots of questions about launches.
Yeah.
So it was seamless. You're both beautiful, not only beautiful speakers, but quite confident on the stage, or that's how you come across. I don't know if that's how it feels inside, but that's certainly how it comes across. People take different approaches to their launches. So sometimes people want, will have talked to the host about exactly what they want to say and that kind of prep. What prep had you and Jacinta done in advance?
Okay, so this was our prep. Jacinta finished my book 2 days before the launch. She messaged me on Instagram. She goes, "Do you want to know anything?" I said, "No." And then here we go.
Amazing. Okay, that's great. And did that feel good to you? Is that the kind of vibe that you needed?
Yeah, because I learned, I did one very brief interview recently where the person sent me the questions, like in detail. Yeah. And I just learned from that experience that that's not my best way to work. Mm-hmm. It's okay to kind of have a general rule, though I knew nothing with Jacinta and that worked really well for me. It works well if I don't think about it at all, because then I think when I'm answering the questions, I'm thinking about what I've thought about rather than being in the moment and actually just answering it authentically and honestly. So Jacinta and I literally, like when we sat down on stage, that was the first time we had spoken about the book. That was the first time, you know, besides very brief interactions at other book things, we had properly connected, and it was really a blank slate.
I love that. So you had readings introduced, your publisher, Catherine Milne, said a few words, you and Jacinta spoke for a little bit, then you did a reading, which you'd chosen, and then you did your thank yous. How had you kind of prepped in your head that you wanted that part to go? What was important to you to do in that section there? Because you don't have a huge amount of time at a launch to get everything in. So what did you wanted to get done in that section?
Well, in the acknowledgement section, I had my book in front of me, which I used as scaffolding because, and I knew full well, and I did forget a couple of friends.
It happens. Afterwards.
I wanted to, and this isn't, honestly, this is not meant to sound cliche or like overly humble, but I honestly wanted to take the spotlight off myself a little bit. Even though I looked really confident up there, I was not feeling it inside at all. And I'm also very acutely aware that even though it said a lot, I wouldn't be there if it wasn't for certain people in my life. I just simply wouldn't. And that's just the truth. You know, that's not sugarcoated. And so, you know, I had a conversation with Mrs. Chandler Hill, my Year 12 English teacher, I know I've spoken about before. You know, we had cake before the launch and a few days before launch. And she had been saying, and I know she won't mind me saying this, that, you know, she had been looking over her life and that she hadn't felt like she accomplished anything and she felt lazy. And I know she won't mind me saying that. And, you know, she was having those feels, you know, she's not very well at the moment. And I just wanted to try and make her see that she might feel like that, but that's not the reality. And that if I am there thanking her, then there must be hundreds of other students who feel the same way. And I just kind of wanted it to be her night a little bit as well. So I guess my aim was to, you know, you don't often get an opportunity in front of a big group of people to thank people. And it is a once in a lifetime gift to thank people properly. And so I just wanted to take the time to, the people who I was thanking, I wanted them to see that I wanted to do it in public rather than just in print. And I wanted to show them my face and my voice and to convey as much as I could with that kind of, you know, bodily embodied way, how incredibly grateful I was and am.
Well, from a audience perspective, now I was sitting up quite close to the front because the gorgeous Jill had bagged me a seat near the front so that I could take pictures. But I don't reckon there was a dry eye in the house when you thanked Mrs. Chandler Hill, and absolutely people could feel that embodied feeling. Couple more questions about the launch. There was then an incredibly long signing line. So long that in fact I snuck in to get like a stamp from your gorgeous daughters and then had to run out because I had to get to a basketball game. So there was both the aspect of you dealing then with the signing line and how you deal with that, which I want to ask you about. But also just wanted to note that the other thing you do at a launch or a book event like that is to bring people together. And the fact that there were people there that perhaps you hadn't met, there were a lot of writers in the room, there were a lot of debut writers in the room. It was also an incredible chance for other people to catch up. And I think that one of the ways that people can view book events or launches, especially if they feel uncomfortable in the spotlight, is to think that every time you host one of those or you're the reason people are coming together, you're giving a bunch of writers a chance to catch up with each other as well, which I think is really fabulous.
I love that. Mm. I love that. Yeah. And that's so true. And I guess I've been that person too, you know, before and so grateful for it. But I think when I look at it like that, I actually, yeah, it makes me feel a bit better about it, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So tell me how you deal, because this is another practical thing, because especially on your debut launch, you've got, like you said, a lot of friends and family who may not, you know, come to your second and third and consequent launches. They're all coming up to you. And I remember my first time, like I basically wanted to write an essay in every person's book, but you just can't do that because there were like, you know, 150 people lined up to get their book signed. How did you manage it?
People's names fell out of my head. People who I've known for like 20 years.
Absolutely.
The time spent was not so much on the, what I was writing on the inside, but trying to have a conversation and recall names. A lot of it was. I was also acutely aware that my daughters were sitting next to me and had been at Sorrento Writers Festival and been out all day. So like I was in mum mode as well, right? I'm like thinking, you know, I don't want to exhaust these poor little girls. Have they got a drink? Do you want a special lemonade? You know, so I was in kind of mum mode as well. So I guess I managed it best by taking one person at a time. And I found that each person needed something different. Some people wanted to have a really brief catch up because that's the only time they'd send me on night. Like it might be my drama teacher or high school friend. And yeah, they wanted the book signed, but they wanted to say, hey, and lucky am I. So, you know, I was trying to play it on a person by person basis. Like, what does this person want right now? What does this person need? And so it does take a little bit of time, but I really just tried to not have a kind of cookie cutter approach.
Yeah.
Tried to kind of look at them and gauge, you know, do you want me to just sign my name, get that done, and then have a quick chat and a hug? Or do you want me to write something special on it because that's really special for you.
Okay, beautiful. Now, what happened post, so as I said, I had to leave a little early. I know that there were people who were going down to the moat to catch up and have a drink. What did you do and what time did you get to hop into your bed and take off your shoes and kind of lay there as I imagine you would have been buzzing and full of adrenaline and trying to process the day?
So my beautiful husband took the girls back to, we had a hotel room and bless his cotton socks, because I had been kind of around people all day. So to have an hour or two afterwards just to sit down was a gift. I had not organised anywhere. I had thought about my father's office, which was across the road.
Yep.
And Nico, the beautiful guy from Readings, who is incredible as well, he went over there and he came back and he goes, oh, it's kind of full of really, really young people. And I don't know whether you're going to want to go over there. There's a lot of pashing happening. Oh, cool. Yeah, maybe not pashing and loud music. Like all power to them, right?
All power to them. But that wasn't your vibe right at that moment.
Right. So the moat usually closes kind of at 10-ish. So I didn't think they'd be open, but they kind of were. So a few of us went down and I hadn't eaten. Since the chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
At the Writers Festival.
You should have put some things in your bag, Megan Rogers. Okay. Advice number one.
I know. That's such a good advice. There was like six or seven of us. And so I ordered a pasta. And for anyone who knows me, pasta is my favorite food in the whole entire world. If you give me pasta, some bread and butter, like I'm happy. And I had this amazing pumpkin, you know, in burnt butter sauce. Anyway, you don't need to know that. But I sat there and I ate it and it was such a special, beautiful moment because I was so relieved that everything had kind of, you know, it had gone well and I was so grateful to everyone. And just to put warm food in my belly. So I walked down out of the Wheeler Centre. I had taken my shoes off by the time I had come down the bottom of the steps because I'm not used to wearing high heels. You know, I wear gumboots at school.
Were great heels and a great frock, by the way, but people will see that on socials.
I got it off Facebook Marketplace, right? That's
awesome. I love this.
We went down and the people at the moat had been serving drinks up at the launch. And, you know, for any writer, you know, there's such a huge, big shout out to them because they're so supportive. And so we had a meal and then they said, we're going to give you desserts for free.
Oh.
You know, we really love being part of it. And they were so beautiful. And I'm a hugger. Mm-hmm. I apologize to everyone in advance. Please tell me if you don't want me to hug you. And I just hugged the men there who were just incredible. I gave them, you know, just the tightest squeeze because I think just in that moment, like getting free desserts was
everything.
I sat there and I was like, had a big spoon. I was like, you know, a little girl eating mousse and creme brulee and all that. And I didn't do too much after that. I went back to the hotel room and I actually wasn't wearing my shoes from that point when I was walking bare feet to my Uber. And I put on my jammies and, you know, I curled into bed with my girls and my hubby and, just having like, you know, and anyone knows this, like that little girl smell in the middle of the night was just everything, I think, for me. And I just, you know, wanted to just pull the doona up and fall asleep.
Very grounding, very beautiful. Megan, I want to ask you because I know, and I was one of the people who did it, there was a lot of love for you on socials, lots of pictures, videos, people had done reels, people had taken photos of you. There would have been, I can't even imagine how many tags and mentions you woke up to. At a really practical level, how did you deal with that? Did you already have a plan in place about you know, were you going to respond to DMs? Are you going to retweet, repost everything?
Yeah.
You know, like how did you deal with that? Because that can be really super overwhelming as well.
Yeah, it was a little bit, but, you know, grateful, you know, so grateful as well. So in my head, you know, what I had done is that my little girls love swimming pools and I knew the hotel that we were staying in had a really nice pool. And so I had promised myself, I said, I'm going to put the phone aside for the morning. I'm going to have coffee. My girls love a buffet, so mm-hmm. we were like anywhere with a buffet breakfast so they could just eat pancakes and make themselves, you know, soft serve ice cream with nuts. And so I did that and I took them, you know, my husband and I took them to the pool and we just swam and we, you know, played chasey and we did all of that stuff. And then when we came out and they were getting ready, then I did, though, want to do my job, not just my job, but, you know, reply to messages because people were sending really beautiful messages and I didn't want to just leave it. I felt really uncomfortable with just not responding as well. So once I felt like I'd kind of filled their bucket a little bit, which fills mine as well, then I sat down and they were kind of having hot showers. And so there was a TV in the bathtub, right?
Oh, my goodness.
So they were watching Bluey in the bathtub. And I felt at that time that was an okay time. You know, they were happy and, you know, they were like, Mom, we're watching the TV in the bathtub.
Like, life goals, bang.
Life goals, like tick. and at that time, I felt okay to pick up my phone and to respond to everyone then.
And what was your policy, Megan? Did you kind of reshare things in stories? I noted today, which I think is really smart, and I encourage people who are on Instagram to do this, that you've got your highlights there underneath so that you could save things like into your launch, you know, various things like that. Tell us how
So I only just figured that out. I was doing all this Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whenever, right? I think it was Monday night that I figured this out, or maybe Sunday night. Anyway, I couldn't sleep and I got out of bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning. This isn't my goal, by the way, to be on Instagram 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But I was hungry. So I made myself a peanut butter sandwich and I was sitting on the couch with that and trying to respond to some of the things because I hadn't caught up yet. And I thought, oh, this isn't really working. And so I thought, oh, hang on. And I know this isn't like I was learning from other people, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to create, you know, because previously my those highlights were things like music and, you know, my previous Instagram life where I thought people cared what music I listened to, but, you know, and so I did, I started to group them and I said launch, and then, and it also allowed me to give, like, I want to reshare other people's stuff as well. And it allowed me to give it a little bit more shelf life. So I realized, look, you know, if a bookstore does, you know, do something amazing, I don't want it just to be in stories and then to fall away.
Yeah.
But then if I put it in stories and then put it in highlights, but you know what happened? Because then I realized I was like, because I don't know if there's a different way to do this, but I ended up re-putting things into stories so that then I could put it into highlights because some of the stuff had gone. So I'm thinking if people are looking through my stories, I'm going to be like, we've seen this 10 times.
It's absolutely fine. You're allowed to do however you need to.
I'm overthinking Instagram. So, yeah, I just started grouping them just so it made a little bit more sense.
Okay, so we've got a lot going on. I've got a couple more questions because I know that then, so you've got your weekend, you kind of like have a moment to rest. And then basically for the first part of this week, which is publication week, you have been doing hardcore bookshop visits, a couple of events. Tell us about what the bookshop visits look like for you. Who helped out? What you would advise? Did you have the right amount of snacks? Who took the photos as you went? Were you taking photos or were the bookstores taking photos? How did you manage all of that?
Well, I, you know, mental note to myself, take more snacks.
Take more snacks.
Just stop at a service station, Megan. Like, you know, just fine. I unfortunately thought that sushi with soy sauce was a great idea because I just got it from a food court at a shopping center and I ended up dropping soy sauce all over my jacket that I was wearing. And so I didn't have a spare jacket. Take a spare jacket, man.
Take a spare jacket. How many stores did you have to visit on the first day, on the Monday?
So on Monday, I took myself around and I think there were, I did like little brief drop-ins in between, but they were kind of between 10 and 12.
And who had organised that list for you?
so was my beautiful team at Harper's.
Okay, great.
Helped with that. And it was mainly QBD stores because they've been so generous to make the book of the month. So I wanted to, you know, and my publisher wanted to you know, to pay that back and also to meet the people. But can I just say, I was so nervous sitting in the car, you know, eating my soy sauce and dropping it all over my jacket. And, you know, I was trembling walking in there and, you know, shopping centers. So I had never been to these shopping centers. So I'm parking in these things and I'm walking around going, I don't know where these books are. And I found them and like the bookshop people were like running up to me, you know, shout out to Steph and all these other people there and Mark and stuff. And bear hugging me. And so they took all the photos and thank, you know, praise be to them because they managed, like they knew what they were doing. Like they were like, stand here, go here. We're going to take this photo and that photo. And so they really, you know, managed a lot for me once I got there, which I can't thank them enough. And so I ran around to bookshops for most of the day. And yeah, it was kind of by myself, but I was wearing this dress that I was a little bit worried it was, you know, a little bit low and I kept having to pull it up but I had my jacket, but I didn't have my jacket because I had soy sauce on it. So I was just I was in the bookshop and I was like, is this dress a little bit low? Do I need to pick it up? You know, I just was saying that to everyone. And, you know, there were a lot of mums who were the booksellers and they're like, nah, it's okay. We'll just do this.
So people looked after you.
They really, really did.
I wanted to make a quick note that I just remembered on photos because one of the things that I learned along the way, which is really terrific, is also how useful it is when people who have been at events send you the photos so you can use them. So not in the way that you've been tagged because that's sometimes hard to use them. But I know I remember lots of people sending me event photos like either via DMs or by text message or by email. One of the things that we did is because you gorgeous girls were in so many photos, anything that we took that had your girls in it, we sent to you so you could decide whether to put it up. And the other thing that happens is that if you're with bookstores, that bookstores will often take those photos and send them on to you so that then you can, at a point when you are in bed like you are now, you can actually try and collate those photos in a way as well. So that's just a note to people about being good industry citizens is that that's a way that you can support the person as well. You also had an event, I think, was that a Dimmicks event?
Yeah, so Monday night I was with the Melbourne Writers Group at the Arbory, really beautiful bunch of people. And then so last night I was at the Rivoli with Dimmicks.
And how did that go?
Yeah, it was good. I didn't really know what to expect because I haven't been to it. But gee, they put on a lovely event for readers. You kind of go into the river, you go upstairs, and there's like drinks and nibbles, and they do it in a cinema. So
this is the first. Is it called the First Tuesday? First Tuesday Book Club. Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and big crowd, and there were five other amazing writers, and you know, I just sat there listening to them for most of the time, enjoying hearing their stories and looking at their books. So you talk about your book, and then you go upstairs and you sign books and talk to people again.
Megan, do you feel like already in these first few days of kind of being out publicly, I know you would have done a lot of pre-release stuff as well, that you're feeling more confident with your pitch and the way you talk about your book, or that you're shifting it in any ways you respond to the audience and the people you're talking to?
Yeah, that is such a good question, because I think yesterday was the first time I really started to think about that, because I'd been on autopilot a little bit. And you do start to worry that you're telling the same stories over and over again. I know that I'm not, that's a really common feeling. I know that, you know, a lot of people, every event you go to, usually it's new people, so they haven't heard it, right? But, you know, you do worry that there are repeat people and they're hearing the same story. So, you know, I have just, even for my own sanity, just thrown some new stuff in there just to mix it up a bit and to round it out maybe a little bit too, because I think you're learning on the go. And so I'm learning how to talk about the book. And, you know, I may have had a story before, you know, an honest story before, but, you know, there may be different facets that I've only just realized myself or other people. This is the beauty of this process, is that it's like a two-way communication, and it's really helpful to listen to how other people talk about your book. And that's probably been one of the greatest lessons. Like, I went into Leaf Bookshop, and they've been incredible as well. And the sellers there were describing my book and giving me kind of one sentence as they were going to use. And I thought, that's gold. Like,
that nails it.
I haven't described it that good. And I will always say, do you mind if I say that too?
Yeah.
Because I don't, you know, I feel that's the right thing to do. So I've been adapting it a little bit, but not just from my own perspective, using other people's advice and perspective as well.
That's great advice. Okay, before I let you go, I just want to ask, and I know that it is a whirlwind of feelings, and even before we started recording, I was likening it to that moment where I often text new parents, new mums specifically, to say, okay, it's day three or day four, you know, you're going to start crying today, or you might start crying today, because someone texted me, and this is why I do it. My very dear friend, Amy Baker, texted me on about day three for my first child and said, you might start crying today and it's perfectly normal, and you're not going to know the reason why, and you're going to be angry at yourself because it's meant to be the best time of your life and you feel so happy, but also you don't know why you're crying. And I think there's a bit of the same kind of feeling after your debut book comes out, because it's so many big emotions. There's so much love coming your way. You can feel undeserving. You can feel, why do I also feel shit? Tell us, I want, so with that as the preface, I'd love you to tell us maybe the highlight of the past few days and publication week, and also maybe the low light.
So the highlight was the launch. That sounds really obvious, but the specific highlight was just before it started, and I was sitting next to Jacinta Parsons and we were talking, and she goes, just stop and look out for a minute. And I just stopped and I you know, looked at everyone's faces, and she goes, you know, these people really love you, and just take a minute to look at it. And I'm getting a bit emotional about it, but, you know, I think you can feel really undeserving, and I'm not necessarily saying that I am. And, you know, I don't want my girls to necessarily think that I'm sitting there thinking I'm undeserving, because I'm really trying as hard as I can to mirror and be the type of person I want them to be one day, which is as hard as it sounds, but important as well. And having that moment where I just looked out and just took a breath and looked at all these people's faces, you know, and this is a once in a lifetime opportunity I'm getting there, and it is the type of one that you take with you through the years. It's the moment I'll be in a nursing home probably towards the end of my time thinking about that, and that was the highlight.
That is delightful. I just want to step in there to say that one of the pieces of feedback we're getting from listeners is how much they're enjoying following your journey, Megan, but also that they're not getting through a single episode without crying. And Catherine and I say that, and I just cried. I cried then as well. But also, no, you don't have to apologize. It's joyous. But you you saying that and Jacinta giving you that moment, and it reminds me so much that I think Catherine's word or phrase for this year was based on that beautiful idea from Dylan Alcott about just taking a moment and saying, fuck, how good is this? And I'm so glad that you got to take that moment, because that's really important. Yeah. Okay, low light, give it to us.
I think the low light was, Monday morning, I'm kind of by myself in the car, and I'm in the shopping center car park, and it's like everyone's racing around shopping, and I'm sitting there with my soy sauce jacket and a list of bookshops, and like looking at it, and I'm getting like all of these Instagram notifications popping up, and really, really beautiful people, and looking at the pictures of myself and all these reels, beautiful things. And just to be honest, I was hit with the shame monster. And I know that there are very eloquent people like Brené Brown and all these other people who talk about all that stuff. All their advice just falls out on my head in those moments. But I felt it is joyous and it is amazing and it is wonderful and all of those things. But I think in that moment, I think you can feel a bit ashamed. I think you can feel a bit ashamed that you're getting a lot of attention and a lot of airtime. And I think you can feel a bit ashamed that it's a bit sparkly and, ashamed that you're feeling really mixed emotions. And I think if I had sat by myself in the car, I would have just like fallen into an Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole. You get out and you look around and try to remember where you park the car, and you walk in through the food court, and I just as soon as I found the bookshop, I was immediately. I was immediately that little girl again, and it was okay. It was going to be all right because, it was with book people, and they were just, as soon as I saw them and as soon as I went in and I surrounded myself with the books, and it wasn't in that moment, God honest truth, it wasn't about taking pretty pictures. It was about the fact that these people had read my book. And they're like, this is a lot of hard work you've put in, and we're here for it. We're here for it. And they hugged me and we laughed, and the soy sauce jacket didn't matter anymore, and the shame mostly fell away. And I knew that if I could just get to the next bookshop, then I'd be all right.
Megan Rogers, thank you for being so honest and vulnerable with us. I know that part of the reason that listeners are loving this so much is because of your absolute generosity in sharing all aspects of this story. So thank you so much. Before I let you go, by the time this episode goes to air, I hope that you will have had a whole day in that bed and not got up except to get a cup of tea. I know you'll also have been to Brisbane and Brisbane Writers Festival, which is very exciting, but you do have things coming up that people can get to. I think you're going to Sydney. Tell us what you're doing in Sydney.
So there's like a Sydney version of the launch, just a little one at Better Read Than Dead on the Sunday after Mother's Day in the afternoon, with afternoon tea and champagne and things like that. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Sean Snaps is coming. He's got this incredible book coming out about fatherhood and parenting. And so I think it'll be a lot of laughs. And so that's happening then as well. So.
Well, we will put a link to that in the show notes. Thank you again. You've done it. You've got through publication day. You've got through the lead up. You stay there in that bed for the rest of the day, Megan Rogers, and we look forward to catching up with you soon again to see how the kind of first 4 or so weeks pan out for you. And we're just sending you all the love and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at @thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The First Time Podcast. We record this podcast virtually on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and we extend that to our First Nations guests and listeners. Sound production by Phoebe 80, who we can employ because of the wonderful support of our patrons via Patreon. Thank you so much for making this podcast possible.